Hello, thanks for downloading. I'm Harry Brady, and this is a football fans podcast from CelticUnderground.net. So on this week's podcast, we have Brendan Rodgers straight after the fantastic victory over Ross County, which took us to number 55. Apparently that's some sort of significant thing in Scottish football when you're going for 55. Don't know about going for 56. Who knows? And after Brendan, we will have Michael McCourt from the Celtic FC Foundation, who will talk about the Hail Hail Trail, which is a way that you can raise money to coincide with the celebration of Celtic's 130th birthday on the 6th November this year. Talking of the foundation, there's a number of things going on and coming up. There's the Gordon Moffat Seat Challenge, which is a group of guys who've gone round and sat in every single seat in Celtic Park. I think their Just Giving page is just about to be closed off, and there are a number of people taking part in the Great Scottish Run on Sunday the 1st of October. I think the 10K is happening on the Saturday the 30th of September, and if you want to take part in those and raise money for charity and choose the Celtic FC Foundation charity as your chosen place, you can do that. Michael will get on to talk about the Hail Hail Trail. Already there's two sisters in San Francisco who signed up for it, so the important thing to do after listening to this, wherever you are in the world, this is something you can do to raise money from the Celtic FC Foundation. There will be the Founding Fathers Fast also to celebrate the 130th anniversary of our club, and that will take place on the birthday, Monday the 6th of November. So if you want to fast for 24 hours and do that by raising money for the Celtic FC Foundation and also commemorate the birth of the club, you can do that. It is £5 minimum entry to participate on that. There's also the Celtic Sleepout, which is on the 11th of November, and there is also going to be a London-based Sleepout on the 24th of November in St Anne's School, which is the school where Brother Walfred down in London was a teacher. So that's some of the many things that are coming up. Bucket Collection for Christmas will be on the 2nd of December. So all of those, I think the Golf Day is also being launched for next year, which is the 8th of June. So get onto the Celtic FC Foundation website and listen and tune in to all of that. Also, if you listened to the podcast with Glasgow Rocks, you might be interested to know that their season kicks off, or I believe the term is tips off for all the Americans listening, against Sheffield Sharks on Sunday the 5th of October. And they have a special deal for Celtic season tick holders. Tips off at 5 o'clock the day after the Hibs game. And if you're a Celtic season ticket holder, it is £8 for adults and £4 for kids. So, enough of all of those. We're going to have Brendan Rodgers and then Michael talking about the Hail Hail Trail.
Just the response you were looking for after midweek?
Yeah, it was perfect. You know, I think the players deserve a huge amount of credit. You know, to come into a game after the midweek game, you know, a lot of energy put into that, and obviously we knew we were going to play against Ross County team that are very dogged and were going to make it difficult for us. But we said to the players, listen, we take our medicine in the week. We learn from it, and this is what this group are very, very good at doing. And we remain very positive, press the reset button, and we go again. And Thursday, Friday, they were excellent in training. We tried something different today as well in terms of the shape of the team. And I thought as the game went on, we got better and better and better. So, yeah, it's always a mark of the good side that you can respond and to score four goals, keep a clean sheet. It was a really, really good performance.
Particularly pleasing for you that
Moussad
comes back with a goal today as well?
Yeah, it's great for his confidence, and I thought those two boys linked up very well. You know, we played with a back three, one holding midfield player, four players in advance of that, and then those two up front. And we were playing against a back five with four really narrow midfield players in one, so that meant it was really, as I said, it was really blocked in that sort of final third of the field. But it's finding the answers to that tactically, you know, the width and the pitch through Johnny and James, and then the numbers inside and the two boys occupying their three centre halves. So I thought they linked up very well. I think the goal, misses goal. I think Lee plays it in, makes a run. She takes Davies out of the space that Musa comes in and bends it in, and a very, very good finish. So a lot of really good performances, like Sahem, Johnny Hayes coming in, you know, hasn't featured a great deal, but is always there and ready. Very, very good. Very pleasing.
Playing the two up front, is that something you'd consider sticking with going forward into next week's game?
Yeah, it depends. I always look at the opponent. I've been up here now for a year, and so I've been able to see the how teams set up, and especially here sometimes at home. I think what is important is it's noting the flexibility of the players. You know, they're going into all these systems that I'm throwing at them. Because we played teams 4 and 6 times in the year, and of course Celtic always has to be dominant, but it can never be stale. You know, you never can be predictable, and having the flexibility to play in the different systems that we do will hopefully make it challenging for the opponents each time we play. So today, playing with the two strikers and the width and the numbers on the inside, it worked well. Let's see what Dundee brings.
In terms of Musa, then, do you still have to muscle through it a little bit, or would it be okay for Wednesday, Saturday?
I think if you see, we'll see what his reaction is after this here. We don't really need the hamstring going again, so we don't have to force him in. We've got a really good squad of players, you know, young Odson and Lee, we've got other players that can play there. So that was the reason for bringing in the third striker. You know, the boys, you know, Lee and Musa have had injury history, so we don't really want to push it where we have to, but we'll see what his reaction is afterwards.
Kieran not in the 18 today, is that just a rest situation for him, or was he nursing anything after the week?
He was absolutely fine. I don't think he knew what he'd do himself today.
Probably not.
I pulled him the other day and I said, listen, you're marching up and down the line for us, for Scotland. I just got to make sure he doesn't break. You know, I trust my squad. I need to nurture a young player through. The last thing I need for him is just sheer exhaustion. He puts so much into the games. I felt a few weeks back, looking at the programme, that this was a game where I could recover him. Just give him a total rest, re-energise him. And then he comes back in, and obviously he's raring to go for our next games. And I'm sure then after that, the international games, which is important. So, it's just, of course, I'd love him to play every game. But I also have to manage what's a long season for all the players. Okay,
thank you.
So I am joined now by Michael from the Celtic Foundation. So although Michael, you might be and work at the Celtic Foundation and have an enviable job of coming into Celtic Park every week, you still have to set up your Celtic credentials to be on the Celtic Underground podcast.
Of course.
I need to establish, what was your first Celtic game and who was your first Celtic hero?
Well, first Celtic game, actually, it did take me quite a while to get to my first Celtic game, actually, so I was quite late into beginning to liking football.
Right.
So it was a great season to start liking football, though. So it was 1997-98.
Uh-huh.
That's when I first actually started taking an interest in it. Before that, it was just something that never particularly interested me. And then my uncles came over from America.
So you're a glory hunter, is that what you?
Well, I never supported them before, so my uncles came over from America that year and bought me my first top, and I started sort of following games, and obviously it was a great season to start following Celtic. It was a wee while after that, though. It wasn't till about 2002 before I actually went to my first game.
Okay.
So I just never really.
Nobody knows what age you are, so people, you can pretend you're 15, and it's,
well,
that looks
so
really.
So what age would I have been? I would 14. Aye,
right.
So I'd have been 14. Would I have been? Yeah, 14 by that time. And it was a League Cup game against Inverness.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went with my dad. I think somebody he knew had spare tickets, and apprehensively going to watch us against Inverness.
Right.
After what had happened a couple of seasons before, thankfully we won 4-2 that game. Maloney scored, Hartson got a double, and I think Alan Thompson scored. And then after that, I actually had a run of games where I felt like I was a jinx, because
right.
I think I went to the game we lost here at Aberdeen against Aberdeen, and we'd lost the, I think it was something like a 70 odd game unbeaten.
Under Martin.
We lost that game.
Yeah, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, of course. And then I think we lost the game against Hearts here, and so it was like a couple of games in a row. It was matches where we'd lost, and I was thinking, God, I'm scared to go back in case
Did Craig Gordon go up for a corner kick or something in Hearts?
But then after that, it's all been good.
So if you got into it in 97-98 and your first game was 4 years later,
yeah,
who was your four seasons later? Who was your first Celtic hero?
It's Henrik. Henrik. I think most folk my age would probably say Henrik was the man. He's special, you know. As you said, starting following football that season, Henrik had a big impact in that season, and then going on from there, he got better and better. And I'd love it if we get another player like him here, but I don't know if we ever will. I think he was so special, and he'll always be my idol.
Do you know, 2002, I was at work, and a mate invited me into an email group of people that I'd met through him, and I had some friends. So it was a group of us in it. There was a couple of guys who lived down south who were not Celtic fans. They weren't Rangers fans, they just were not Celtic fans. And so around about 2002, I remember talking about something, and I said I wouldn't swap Henrik Larsson for any player in Europe. And the two guys down south thought, they were laughing. So you wouldn't even swap him for Batistuta? No, I wouldn't swap him for any. And I always feel vindicated, because after Henrik left us and went to Barcelona, when he was, I mean, I'm not saying he was going downhill, but he was certainly not, he was at his peak here.
Yeah.
He went to Barcelona and turned a European Champions League final.
He done it on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
He done it in European Championships, he done it in World Cups. You know, Fergie took him to Man U after that, and he proved there. And you hear so many people talking about him, how good a player is, and we were blessed to have him here. And what's actually been quite interesting, obviously we'll go on to talk a bit more about this, about the initiative, but when I've been doing some of the research on it, it's been great to look back on some of the seasons, and particularly this is focused on the trebles, and just that 2000-2001 season is unbelievable, like the impact they had to come back from the leg break, 53 goals. It's just incredible.
I think it was also a bit of the perfect storm in that you had him coming back at the same time as Martin O'Neill arriving, and so Martin lifted the whole place, a bit like Brendan has done.
That's it,
here.
Absolutely.
He lifts the whole place up, he lifts the expectation, and he lifts the self-belief. He also brings in players who have all of that, and then you chuck a revitalised Henrik into it, and all those things together with the perfect storm.
That was it. Yeah, so he'll always be my idol, definitely.
Okay, so you're now at the foundation. What do you do at the foundation?
So I work in fundraising and events. Been here about 6 months now, just coming up for 6 months, and it's been, you know, the best time I could possibly have picked to start working for the foundation.
Fundraising at a time when they're having to rejig the Celtic shop because it's too full after a game.
So I came in March, and obviously you had the lead up to the 50th anniversary of Lisbon. You had we were obviously going for an invincible treble winning season, so just being involved in the club at that point was incredible. But the stuff that the foundation was doing at the time as well, so we had, you know, we had the charity match coming up, we had the badge day in the last game of the season, we had the event down in London, which was incredible. So
you had
all
the hydro.
The hydro, with all of that culminating in May, and probably one of the best weeks of my life.
Busiest though?
Yeah. Oh, it was hectic. After sort of June, it started to quieten down a wee bit once the season had finished, and that's us now that you get the fixtures again, you can start planning, looking at the fixtures, seeing when you can hold your events. So my job is, as I said, fundraising events. So I'll look after certain events, things like the golf day, and also trying to come up with new initiatives and fundraising events where we can try and make some money for the foundation.
Because also in that time you also had individual supporters who were also doing fundraising that coincided with Lisbon as well. So there wasn't just all the stuff that the club was doing, yeah, the stuff that the individual supporters were doing.
It's incredible the amount of people that want to do something for the foundation as well, that just come to you and say, I want to cycle from here to there, or I want to do a run, or I want to climb this mountain, and I want to donate the money to the foundation. It's humbling, and it's great. And I also really enjoy that part of the job, because you get to chat and meet people that want to do something good for the foundation. So it's really enjoyable. It's been, I couldn't have picked a better time to start here.
So you talked about there's a new season, so there's new things coming up. And that's one of the things that you're on here to talk about,
yep.
Is a new fundraising initiative.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're always looking for new initiatives and events and things that we can do. You know, we always want to spark people's interest. And one of the things that we've come up with is an initiative called the Hail Hail Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hail Hail Trail is basically a virtual walking fundraising initiative. And the great thing about it is it's open to anyone throughout the world. That's what makes it a little bit different from other things we've done. Basically, with the club's 130th anniversary approaching on November the 6th, we wanted to do something that not only we can fundraise through, but something that celebrates that and celebrates the history of the club. So we're asking fans to walk 130 miles to celebrate the 130 years of history. Basically, the differentiator is, instead of walking that 130 miles, you know, going and starting from a certain point and having to walk that in, yeah, say, 5 days or something, you have 6 weeks, and you have that 6 weeks leading from, I think it's the 26th of September up to the 6th of November, and you're able to finish by then, and you can basically walk your 130 miles whatever way you want. So it averages roughly about just over 3 miles a day.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use, say, a pedometer, or if you use your Apple Health kit, or basically anything that tracks your distance that you cover.
Mm-hmm.
You can use that to track your distances, and as I said, walk your 130 miles however you want. So
walking the dog.
That's it. You can walk your dog.
Walking to school, taking the famous thing that they always have in the Avias about getting off the bus or stop early for going to work and things like that.
That's it. And as I said, it's accessible to people anywhere in the world. So it could be you and I walking up to Parkhead on a match day, or it can be somebody walking their dog in California down the beach, you know.
Yep.
So for fans anywhere across the world that want to be able to fundraise, but, you know, they maybe can't come here and do a climb up Ben Nevis or take part in one of our fundraisers. So it's accessible for everyone. And what we'll have is a dedicated web page and an app. So basically, as I said, you can track your distances however you want, if you want to do it on your health kit or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you log into the site and you upload your progress. So say you've done 3 miles that day, you just go on, you hit add 3 miles, and it adds to your progress to the walk.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, with that aim of getting to 130 miles.
Right.
So the Hail Hail Trail is a celebration of the club's history as well. So we wanted to encapsulate that in it, and the focus that we've put is the four trebles that we've won throughout the club's history. So obviously 66, 67, 68, 69, 2000, 2001, and then last season. And basically, through the website and the app, what you'll have is 12 milestones to celebrate those 12 trophy triumphs.
Right.
So as you're walking, you say you get to the first milestones, maybe 8, 9, 10 miles in. Once you reach that point, you'll get a little notification on the website or the app that will say you've reached milestone 1, League Cup 1966, and it'll give you a picture from the match and a little narrative about the game and who scored, what the score was, and that's what you're trying to strive towards as you move on. You'll reach the different milestones, and it's actually really nice, as I was saying, it's been really good to look back, because you know, you obviously remember, I remember games in 2000 and 2001, but to look back on them and think, oh yeah, I remember that, it's been really interesting. So I think it's a nice little thing that you'll get while you're walking, just that little reaching that milestone and getting the next one. So
whose idea was it?
It was actually one of the Lions' daughters approached us with an idea of a walking fundraiser that, you know, it was virtual rather than just walking from A to B.
Yeah.
Something that could anyone could do, no matter where they were. So we kind of went away, we spent quite a lot of time looking at what we could do. We were thinking originally we could maybe do Glasgow to Lisbon or Lisbon back to Glasgow, and we could have the milestones would be each of the Lions. We were exploring that idea. We were exploring the idea of, obviously, in the run-up to the 130th anniversary, if we could have done the 130 miles where each milestone was, say, 10 miles in was the 10 years in and something that had happened. But with so much going on, you know, around about May, there just wasn't capacity to really put focus on making it worth doing. So we didn't do it in that kind of time period. We let the summer pass and started having to think about it again. And with November 6th being 130 years since the club was founded, we thought that that's a really nice tie-in. And obviously with the weather, you don't probably don't want to be walking out there walking much beyond November.
But it does also fit with the foundation's aims in terms of the HELP.
Exactly. It's encouraging people to go out and get a bit healthier. And it's 130 miles is, you know, it's a big number, but it's over the course of 6 weeks, so it's not ruling people out that they go, 130 miles, I can't do that. As I said, it's just over 3 miles a day, so I looked at my average, I probably don't do that, and it'll encourage, I'm going to do it, it'll encourage me to get out, and even if it's another an extra mile and a half a day, you know, doing that little bit more exercise.
Here's a question that I'll throw at you that you probably won't know the answer, because I don't know the answer, and I should have checked this out beforehand. I do know my Apple thing will tell me how many steps I've done in a day.
Yep.
Do you know how many steps 3 miles is?
Steps 3 miles is? I don't know off the top of my head.
So, if you've got an... I don't know. We both got Apple phones. Yeah, we both got Apple phones, so it's showing us our steps. So, for us, it's looking like... 4,000 steps is what?
For me today, I've done 4,000 steps. And
that's 1.5 miles.
Just coming up for 1.5 miles. So your Apple Health Kit will track your steps or your walking distance in miles or kilometres, whatever you prefer. One of the good things about the site is you can upload them whatever way you want.
Right.
So basically, there's the option when you log into the site, you just go... It's an activity feed, so you go on and you say add, and it's got a drop down menu, steps, kilometres or miles. So depending on whatever you're using and however you track your steps or your distances, you can add that in whatever way you want. And then when you're on the site, you just it's a little hover your cursor and it shows you in miles. So
I'm just thinking, if I was to go and walk the dog tonight for about half an hour, 40 minutes, I reckon I'd be up for the day at about 8,000-9,000 steps.
Yeah.
So that would be about 3 miles.
Yeah.
So that is, I drive to work, so and my car park's underneath my office. There's no walk.
Yeah.
So it's doable. It's the point. 3 miles a day is doable.
It's doable, but it's enough of a challenge that that you
need to do that half hour, 40 minute walk a day to make it.
And it's also, obviously, it's over the course of 6 weeks, and I'm saying it's an average of 3 miles a day. But you know, on your Sunday when you're sitting in the house not doing anything, you've got to counter that in that you've got to average 3 miles a day. So you've actually got to go up and, you know, go out and make the effort, or on one of your days maybe go out a 5-6 mile walk. So there is an aspect of challenge to it, without it being too much of a challenge that rules a lot of people out. And I think we're looking to get people who do track their steps, and you know, they want to try and get themselves that little bit fitter. So it's an opportunity.
So how do you see people raising money around it?
So the target, the theme being 130, the target is the minimum amount, £130. We're looking for sponsorship. So if you sign up, it's a £15 registration to take part, and that gets you your access to the website and everything, and a sponsorship pack. And then we're looking for a minimum of £130 to raise, and then it's up to yourself if you want to go beyond that.
Right.
So it's it's a sponsored walk, but it's 130 miles, and instead of your average sponsored walk where you're just doing it in the course of a day or 5 days, you've got 6 weeks to do it. So the good thing about that 6 weeks is you can fundraise over that 6 weeks as well.
Right. And as you said earlier, lots of the other fundraising things are take part in a half marathon, take part in a marathon, go and climb a mountain, go and do a zip wire, go and do a they're a one-off event thing that involves going to a location to do that event.
Yeah.
This is very much, from what you're saying, it is focused on people anywhere, anytime can
That's
do it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really up to yourself, you know. As I said, it's 130 miles, and it is a challenge to do 130 miles in 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to go out and do it wherever you want. You can do it, you know, if you... you and your partner decide to do it, if you and your pals decide to do it together, go out, do those walks. And one of the things that they're also on the site is there's a little leaderboard if you want to use it. So,
right.
You know, if you and your best mate decided to do it, you can see how much each other's done. So you can have a little bit of competition between each other as well.
We should have worked out how many calories you burn walking three miles as well.
I know, I probably need to walk a bit more than 3 miles to get the calories that I need to burn, to be fair. But, yeah, so it's completely up to yourself, and it's accessible to anyone out there, no matter where they are. Some people's walks will probably be a lot nicer than the ones we'll have in Glasgow when you're out in weather like this.
Yeah, but, I've been soaked today coming here, so.
Yeah. So if you're out there walking in Melbourne or California or something like that, it's probably going
to
be a bit
You more. Seem to be fixated on the Celtic supporters in California. Is this particularly designed?
The uncle's over there, so I'm trying to have to get them to definitely do it. Yeah.
I thought it was designed at Rod Stewart and Lawrence Donegan to do this. So how do people, because obviously we're recording this before it's formally launched,
yeah,
but this will be out once it's been launched.
Yep.
So how do people get involved? Where do they go?
Yeah, so basically they just have to register online through us. So they'll come directly to us by emailing cfcfoundation@celticfc.co.uk or the phone my number directly, which is 0141 551 4204. So basically it's a case of registering your interest to us. It's then just all the standard with any other event that we do. It's buying your ticket on Eventbrite, just as your registration, paying your registration fee, setting up your My Donate giving page, and then from there we'll direct people to the dedicated web page. Once you're on the web page, it's really simple to register. We'll also give everyone instructions on how you navigate that website. And then from there it's up to you if you've got an Apple or an Android phone, if you want to download the apps. The apps are free as well, and the apps are, again, they're really easy to use.
But people don't even need to do that if they just, you know, if they're able to go and have an idea of what a distance is to walk, if they wanted to do something like that,
absolutely,
they could still go on and go, well, I know walking from there to there and back home again is X miles.
That's it.
It's about then coming home and logging on the details.
That's it. So, yeah, so you don't even need anything to track your distance, as you said. If you go on and Google, you know, the distance from A to B, and you know that that's going to be 5 miles, go out and walk that. And when you get home, you go on the website and you just add 5 miles, and that adds to your progress.
So we're doing that. What other things are you working on just now with the foundation?
So there's a lot going on. We're now leading up to our Christmas appeal, and the funds, all the funds raised from the Hail Hail Trail will go to the 2017 Christmas appeal,
right?
Where we'll kind of look to assist local families and pensioners facing a difficult time of year, and also other local charities which try to help out people experiencing homelessness at that time of year. So there's loads going on. We've got the run up to our Christmas appeal. We have planning for the year ahead, so we've got lots coming up. We've got the Ben Nevis climb, the Ben Nevis huddle. We're exploring things like doing a skydive again.
Yeah.
We've got our Girls for Good event coming up as well, coming up at Christmas. So lots happening, yeah.
So people want to get involved. Obviously, there's those formal things. So there's things like the golf day and going up Ben Nevis. There's the Hail Hail Trail. But people don't need to be doing one of those formalised things to raise money for the foundation.
Of course, no. You can do, you know, whatever you want. If you want to, you know, have a night, a quiz night or something, or if you want to go out and tackle a mountain or do a run, absolutely feel free to contact us. We've also got people, I think we're up to about 40 people that are running the Great Scottish Run for us, either the 10K or the half marathon.
Right.
And again, that's not our event. That's something that we've asked people to to fundraise on behalf of us, and we've got about 40 people running that. Yeah.
It's okay, just so people listening in can know, there is actually a table tennis table at Celtic Park, and I understand, just in case you now hear the noise, there is a table tennis championship goes on.
There is indeed, I think we're at the...
I'm one of the Celtic directors. Is actually one of the leading people in the table tennis championship.
Yep, we're into the quarterfinals now.
Right.
So there was a group stage, and Tony Hamilton is out. He was in
is
my
he?
Group.
How did he get the, where did he finish?
It was an interesting one. So it was a groups of four. I won my three matches.
Right.
And then I think Tony beat one of the guys, Miguel, but then Miguel beat John. But John beat Tony, so they'd all
so you romped the group. It's a bit like Champions League.
Yeah,
you want one team to romp it.
That's it. So they played a playoff after that, and then
right.
So Tony get two chances actually, and that's him out. He's gone. So we're down to the last eight now, and I've got Andrew Deary from the foundation as well. So
right.
It's a foundation versus foundation match between us for a place in the semi.
And I take it as rigged, so what happens is Peter Lawwell then just parachutes into the final and wins it.
He's I don't know if he was actually invited. You need to ask Gordon. He's the man that's been running the tournament, but Peter isn't involved.
Right.
In fundraising, we're always looking for people volunteering, so we'll have our bucket collection at Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll need people to be out there shaking buckets and getting involved. So you know, it's not always come and be sponsored for something. It's just, you know, make yourself known to us. And
do you know what game's the bucket collection going to be?
I think it's the 2nd of December, I think. I need to double check that, but I think it's at home to Motherwell, maybe. I think
2nd of December, home to Motherwell, if
I think so.
Yeah.
And also there's a food bank collection, I think, on the 25th of November, run by the Green Brigade as well.
So the most important thing is, do you want to give the details again for people to sign up to the Hail Hail Trail?
Yep, absolutely. So if you're interested in doing the Hail Hail Trail, contact us on cfcfoundation@celticfc.co.uk or phone myself on 0141 551 4204.
And with that, Mick McCourt, I'll say thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Never would have hitchhiked to Birmingham if it hadn't been for love.
So, hope you enjoyed the podcast with Brendan and Michael McCourt giving an insight into the Hail Hail Trail. So, wherever you are in the world, that's something you can do to participate in. The covers this week are, first up, it was suggested by Sean Hamilton, and it's Mesa Cara singing the Jefferson Airplane classic White Rabbit. And it's on again after, because I talked over it so much. And then it's Adele covering the Steel Drivers, Chris Stapleton song, If It Hadn't Been For Love. I did feel like cheating and doing a Chris Stapleton version of that bluegrass song, but decided not to. Anyway, enough of me. The Wimble Podcast along soon. This is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. Good night. Never would have called the train to Louisiana if it hadn't been for love. Never would have loaded up a 44.
حتى